Welcome everybody to the Careers in Utilities event, our Women's Utility Network event. This is our third hosted session and we will be looking at careers in consulting and the views from a graduate to consulting partner. And this is going to be led by Engage Consulting. So firstly, a welcome from me. I'm one of the co-founders of the Women's Utility Network. I'm also Managing Director of Utilities at Go Beyond Partners. I'm one of the founding members of the Women's Utilities Network. And we're just about to come into our fourth year as a network working to help and support women in the sector. So just a little bit about one before we go on to our guest speakers. So if you are new to the Women's Utility Network, or this is your first event, our ethos is all about developing and encouraging women in the sector. We started it, as I said, nearly 4 years ago. My fellow founders there pictured Do Butlin, Rebecca Sedler, Angela Pert, and Angie Needle. And we started because we were passionate about women in the sector and we wanted to support them so they could continue to build lasting and fulfilling careers in the sector. Today's event was for us to showcase the really broad variety of roles that are available within the sector. Many times people think about supply as careers and they're the only careers in utilities. But actually, it's really, really broad. And so today is an opportunity with our partners to talk about career opportunities and in some cases, role opportunities that are available now. This session is around careers in consulting and our guest speakers today are Claire Gaia and Sophie Dooley. So Claire is a senior consultant at Engage. She has a lot of experience in the utilities sector, largely gained working with E.ON. And she's joined by Sophie, who's a business analyst who joined Engage last year. And they're going to talk to you about careers and what it's like working in a consulting company. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Claire and Sophie. They can share their thoughts about what it's like working in utilities.
That's great. Thanks, Hayley. Yeah, so firstly, I just wanted to thank you all for inviting us today. So as Hayley said, Sophie's going to be talking to you about her experience working for a consultancy company coming straight from university. And I'll be talking to you about my experience having been in the consultancy for quite a while now. We're happy to take questions, but it'd be great if we could do these at the end. So yeah, I think Hayley, you'll help facilitate that. So firstly, yeah, I just wanted to talk to you about my background and how I became to be a consultant. So I joined the energy industry back in 1998, just as the domestic market opened full competition. And it was around about a year after I graduated. I worked as a data analyst in data management, which was at TXU, which was formerly, it's a bit of a mouthful, Eastern Power and Energy Trading. So it was based in Ipswich. After a couple of years, I was promoted to senior analyst, and there I was responsible for managing the INC queries and disputes. I supported the management of the electricity settlement system and also managed a small team of analysts. Whilst there, I also attended one of the industry committees, which was run by Elexon, called the Trading Disputes Committee, and I was on there as an industry expert. I used to find it quite intimidating, not only because I was one of the few women on the committee at the time, but also because I was quite young, so I was sort of mid to late 20s at the time. So you'd go to these meetings once a month, and everybody else would be a lot older and more experienced. Well, that was my perception anyway at the time. So after 5 years in Ipswich, I relocated to Nottingham, and that was part of the PowerGen E.ON takeover. And in there, I worked in the newly formed settlements and data management department. And this time I was mainly focusing on like the domestic side of the industry. I enjoyed the challenges and opportunities this role provided, as I was able to work with other departments and building new relationships again. It was actually in this role when I was first introduced to Engage Consulting. so I was working on a data migration project up in Manchester. And, you know, myself and John, who was the consultant at the time, we still talk about it now, and that was 17 years ago. So I worked in settlements for around 6 years. And then after that, I moved into regulation, as I felt this was like an area I'd grown more interested in. And I'd seen as a natural progression. It wasn't an easy transition, as I'd initially been unsuccessful for the interview. I was just pipped at the post, as so I was told at the time. But through regular engagement with that area and that department, I was offered as a comment. And after 3 to 4 months, I was made permanent. I never got bored in this role, as I was always learning new things, especially with all the changes in regulations that was happening at the time and just still is. Again, it enabled me to work with even more areas of the business, helping areas with their compliance and risk management, and I supported in their process development, etc. And in my last 2 years at E.ON, I worked on a number of projects and helped support in Ofgem investigations and information requests. So working and supporting across these multiple areas, such as marketing, pricing, customer service, etc., it helped build my knowledge, but also improve my confidence. I was now becoming that go-to person that I'd grown to love. I enjoyed the element of providing support and working with others, which these roles provided. I think because I'm generally quite an open and friendly person, this enabled me to build the relationships and the trust I needed for us all to do a good job. I worked at E.ON for 16 years, and I'd always wondered what other opportunities were out there, but I'd never felt brave enough to make that leap. So when an opportunity of severance came up, I applied, I was accepted, and I think that was the push I needed. I had nothing to lose. I'd always been interested in consultancy, especially having worked closely with Engage in the past, but again, I'd never felt quite confident enough. And I think this was because I'd had this preconception of what consultancy meant and didn't think I'd necessarily have the skills required. It was only through talking to friends and colleagues that the penny finally dropped and helped me realise I'd actually been doing a form of consulting in all the other roles I'd had, you know, providing the support and expertise, etc. So a year after leaving E.ON, I joined Engage Consulting as a senior consultant, and I've been there 6 years now. Consultancy can mean a number of things and not necessarily just providing subject matter expertise. You can find the assignments can be really varied. They can be short, specific pieces of work, for example, you know, helping the client with operational improvements or being brought in to do an audit and things like that. But they can also be longer term, such as providing additional resource, etc. Essentially, it all depends on the needs of the client. It was this variety that drew me in and has kept me there now. Engage is structured where the roles are predominantly based on experience. So you can join as a business analyst like Sophie. You can be a consultant, senior consultant, lead or principal. I've really enjoyed my time there so far due to the opportunities to do all the different types of roles and also meeting and working with different people and organisations. My first assignment was providing resource support as a business analyst working at Elexon EMRS. I was really nervous at first, not only because it was like my first assignment, but also because it was an area I hadn't been close to at all. And it was actually, I'd only been engaged, I think it was 2 weeks before I'd been placed on this full-time assignment. There was a steep learning curve, but I loved the challenge. I was there for 9 months full-time, and then they asked me back 3 months later. And then I did another 9 months part-time. I'd gone from being the assessor of process documentation, you know, writing processes and developing them. So being the assessor of doing that, and then all of a sudden I was writing them myself, which I found quite interesting. I was no longer holding that red pen that I'd grown to love. My second assignment turned out to be another long-term one. This time it was 4.5 years. I fulfilled a number of roles whilst working at the Altan company. I started as the secretariat, which was supporting the board and the forum and the subgroups and helped implement the governance framework that was needed. I then moved into business implementation and readiness. And then following that, I moved into a regulatory role, which I then held for another 3 years. I found this assignment was really varied and quite unique, essentially because we were working and supporting with other service providers to help set up and establish the company. it's great to have been involved in something from the beginning and to now seeing it as a fully established company. You know, it's got permanent employees and also has its own office now, which is great. So since finishing the assignment, I finished it back in April. I've now completed a few shorter assignments. I've also helped support on bids and propositions, and I've also helped develop some marketing campaigns. I think my confidence has grown so much in such a small amount of time, and I think this has been predominantly due to all the different roles I've had to do. I think contracts being extended or being asked back just gives you such a positive feeling, you know, because you know you're just immediately doing a good job. Since being asked to present today, I've also now been asked back to Alt Hand, providing support to the secretariat team. So this is my fourth week back, which I'm really enjoying. So I'm getting to see all the old familiar faces again, but also meeting new people. I don't think my approach necessarily has changed that much to work since joining Engage. You know, I've always enjoyed meeting and working with different people. And I think because I love a challenge and I'm always happy to roll my sleeves up, this has always proven quite valuable. And I also think being flexible can also help, as you never quite know when that next assignment's going to take you and where you'll be. So on a personal side of things, I think the biggest challenge I faced was the commute and also having to work away from home. My assignments to date have essentially been London-based. So I'd gone from having around, I don't know, half an hour journey to work to having to do over 2 hours each way, 3 to 5 days a week. But luckily, you know, with my colleagues at Engage, I've got the support I needed, so I soon adjusted. I'm not sure my cats ever did. I learned what worked for me and soon it became my new norm. I'm not quite sure I've ever got used to that 5 a.m. alarm call, though. I think maybe that's one of the few positives that's come from the pandemic, you know, being able to work from home more. So I hope you found this useful and provided some insight into consulting. I'm now going to hand you over to Sophie.
Hi, I'm Sophie, and I just wanted to start off with giving a bit of an overview on how I've ended up working at a consultancy straight after university and a bit about how I found it. So I'm working at Engage Consulting as a business analyst. I'm actually the only business analyst at Engage. So in that sense, I'm quite lucky that I'm getting to work alongside a lot of experienced consultants. Engage's position in the market is experts in specialising in the electricity and gas market arrangements. The business prides itself on providing industry expert advice and experience. So in that sense, I'm definitely the odd one out in that before this job, I'd only had 1 month's industry experience. But what I did have was a physics and maths master's degree. So joining Engage has provided me with a chance to use all the skills and knowledge I developed whilst I was at university and then apply this in a practical setting. I never really had a specific career in mind before I joined Engage. In fact, at every stage of the decision-making process, I tended to delay making that decision. I remember when it came to picking my A-levels, I switched my choices about 4 times. I had English in there, philosophy, and I was getting nagged by the tutors to finally just make a decision because I was messing up all the timetables. So I settled on maths, further maths and physics in the end. And then the same thing happened when it came to applying to university. I did a last minute switch 1 week before the UCAS deadline. I had to rewrite my personal statement. So then I ended up doing a degree in London in natural sciences, which involved picking 2 branches of science. I did physics and maths. For me, it was quite a nice degree because it sort of eased me into the decision making. Each year we had to specialize a bit more. So at the end of my first year, I picked to major in physics and minor in maths. And then each year going forward, I had to specialise within physics a bit more. So by the end, when it came to doing my master's dissertation, I ended up doing it in quite a specific quantum physics area. So probably not quite where I would have predicted I would have ended up when I was choosing my A-levels. Whilst I was at university, I met a lot of very career-driven, decisive people that seemed to know exactly what they wanted to do, which tended to be research or finance from day one of Freshers Week. I, on the other hand, had definitely ruled out research and finance. I just didn't really think either of them were for me. So then as a physics graduate, I was sort of lost on where I could go from there. All I know I wanted to do was I definitely wanted a career centred around maths and data. But all those STEM careers events at university, again, tended to be focused around finance and research. So I was still quite lost in where I could go. So I just focused on getting my degree at that point and then trying to get some work experience. At the end of my second year, I did an internship with Gazprom Energy. I went back home to Manchester over the summer and did it there. For me, it was a great experience for two reasons, because I was working alongside the forecasting team, who actually all turned out to be physics graduates just a few years older than me. So it was good to see that there was a route for physics graduates that wasn't the two traditional ones. And in terms of maths and computing, they applied a lot of the stuff I'd learned at university. So it was nice to see that everything I'd learned there wasn't a waste. And then it actually inspired me to try and take some more energy and climate modules whilst I was at university in my third and fourth year. So for me, I think having that internship was great because it really opened my eyes to a whole new industry, which I hadn't really thought of before. So then I graduated in August 2020, a few months into the pandemic, which has to have been one of the worst times to graduate. The job market was awful and I never actually got my graduation. It was cancelled, so I never got the gown and the hat. It definitely made me think I should maybe have started the job hunt a bit earlier and not leave it until after graduation. So then I saw this role advertised, and from memory, it didn't mention that it was for a consultancy. They just wanted a data analyst coming from more of a STEM background. So I applied and I ended up getting this role. If I'm honest though, before I started the application process for this role, I really had no idea what consultants actually did. And I now know, like Claire has already mentioned, that it's actually similar to just many other roles within other companies. Consultants offer specialist services and advice, and it does run across all sectors. It can either be providing a consultant to go in as a resource within a company or organization and complete a job or a task, or it can be a piece of work coming to the consultancy, which requires expert knowledge and independent advice. So I've already mentioned that I am the most junior at Engage, but I think for me, being the most junior in a company where everyone else has so much knowledge and experience, it's provided me with quite an invaluable experience. I've found the structure to be very flat and I'm getting to work alongside the people at the top of the business and they're asking for my thoughts. And I think they recognize that I bring a different view and outlook to things. In my very first week on the job, I was on calls with the directors, working alongside them. And it really amazed me, actually, that so early on, they were asking for my thoughts and they were valuing my input. And I think it's safe to assume that it might not be the case like this on a more like a formal graduate scheme within a larger organization. I think I've been very lucky in that sense. So my day-to-day role is made up with helping with the allocation of unidentified gas. Engage went through quite a competitive tender process to be appointed as the independent gas industry expert for the allocation of unidentified gas. So their role is to develop this table of weighting factors, which these are used to share out the unidentified gas, like ensure the costs associated with it is shared fairly between all the market participants. For those of you that haven't heard about the Orgy and what we do, it requires a lot of data analysis. My colleagues identified a list of contributors that could be creating this unidentified gas. And then we have to quantify specific impacts through research and a lot of analysis to try and quantify how much of the UIG is attributed to each of these contributors and then allocate this across market participants fairly. So I think it's quite safe to say that straight out of university is a very niche role to have ended up in. On this project specifically, I think my colleagues have really valued someone coming in with limited industry knowledge, as I don't necessarily always make the same assumptions that they do. I question everything from my own understanding to try and solidify that. And I think in turn, this has helped them solidify the methodologies and preempt questions that people in the wider industry might have in relation to these weighting factors. I think, much to my own surprise, I've proven that there's no such thing as a dumb question. Well, especially not when it comes to the murky world of unidentified gas. I think this project has been great for me, but what I've really liked about joining consultancy is that I get so much more exposure than just this one project. As I said, UIG work is quite a niche role straight out of university. So as I am just over a year into my career, I want to try and get as much experience across the industry as possible. With so much going on across this company, it's allowed me to help on an electricity project, which I was keen to get involved in as I didn't want to be entirely focused on gas. I've also helped with some net zero, low carbon analysis, and day-to-day many other projects. I've also had exposure to the business marketing side of the company. So in a sense, it does almost feel like a rotational graduate scheme, but then I've always got this one core project to come back to. Skills-wise, I think it's amazing how many new transferable skills I have developed at Engage. And now with the support of the company, I'm trying to develop all these new consultancy skills with the aim of one day reaching consultancy level myself and being able to lead on my own projects. I think when it comes to consultancy, what's so great so early on in my career is that I really get to shape how I want my career to go. I've got that one core project, but then beyond that, I have a say in what I want to get involved in. If there's a topic that I find that interests me, I can go off, research it, come back, and then present it to the rest of the company. Or the same applies if someone else is working on a project that interests me, I can ask to get involved in that, because I think help and learning are two things that are always very much welcomed at Engage. Timing-wise, I think joining me as a young person, I think it's the perfect time to join the industry. With all the new and exciting changes happening across the sector, technologies, policies, regulations, it means that there's so many new initiatives for me to get involved in and not feel like I'm being left behind. With all the new emerging technologies and changes, the field of existing experts is, you could say, quite limited. So today's younger generation, one day we will become the experts of the future. And I think now we're in a great position to learn as it's happening in real time and not feel like we're playing catch up. My experienced colleagues have always welcomed my help when it comes to any new kind of research, as it is new to all of us. And I think it's great that I can get involved in aspects of it. Another thing in relation to all these new changes, which is so great for me, is that it's a great time to be a STEM graduate. There's such a need for analytical minds. We're moving towards all these big data sets that really need to be properly evaluated and analyzed, so we can try and turn this into useful and usable information and it's not wasted. I also have to point out that joining the industry during the pandemic, I found forums such as this one, the Women's Utility Network, and the Young Energy Professionals to be hugely beneficial to me for multiple reasons. Firstly, I'm getting to hear other people talk about the careers, and it's reassuring to know that everyone's sort of followed a different path and there is no one set route to get to where you want to end up. It's also a great way to get involved in networking and has really eased me into eventually meeting people at events. There's friendly faces and an easy topic of conversation. And also, as someone joining with limited industry knowledge, I think it's a really nice way for me to hear what other people are working on and educate myself on what's going on across the industry. So I think for me, perhaps the first year of my career wasn't quite how I envisaged it to be. It's just been a strange year for all of us, waiting from home and having to wait months until I actually got to meet my colleagues in person. I am, however, incredibly grateful for Engage for handing me this opportunity. And as a young energy professional, I'm quite keen to immerse myself in this new emerging energy landscape and try and educate myself on as many of these upcoming changes as I possibly can, and hopefully be one of the energy experts of the future. Thank you. I think I'll hand back to Claire now, who might have a few more points.
Thanks, Sophie. I was just sort of to finalise, really, just to say, you know, have any of the roles that we've talked about today surprised you, or was it aligned to what you thought consultancy would be? It'd be great to hear your thoughts on it, really. And also, yeah, if anyone wants to reach out offline, you know, myself and Sophie are on LinkedIn, so just drop us a message as well. We'll be happy to help if you've got any questions there. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions? Please feel free to unmute if you want to ask a question, or you could put it into the chat if you prefer to ask a question via the chat. Whilst we're waiting maybe for somebody to unmute, Claire, do you think there has previously then been a perception that you would have to have spent many years working in the sector before you could move into consulting?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, yeah, it's like from my experience, I suppose, you know, when I worked at an energy company, you know, you see these, you know, you used to see consultants come in, you know, do a piece of work, you know, be the experts and leave. And, you know, so I always assumed you always had to be, you know, obviously it helps, but, you know, you had to be that subject matter expert. And, you know, as I said, in my first assignment was an area of, it was to do with capacity markets and contracts for difference and power stations, and never been involved in it at all. But I think having that right approach and like Sophie says, you know, not being afraid to ask questions. And so I was essentially, you know, providing extra resource for them and became part of their team. For the first 9 months anyway, at least, for, you know, I was there full time, 5 days a week. So yeah, that definitely changed my perception and my view of what consultancy is. And I think it's just, there is that variety, really.
Yeah, and building on a bit of what Jenny has just put in the chat about commute and long distance, long hours, how has COVID reshaped that? And do you think that the more remote working consultant is here to stay, or will we go back to traveling a lot more? What are your thoughts on that?
I think for me personally, so my last assignment was, you know, we did 3 days a week in the office in London and 2 days was at home, was generally the setup. And obviously that, as soon as COVID, you know, as soon as the pandemic started, that stopped. And I think it worked really well, and we proved we could still do it. And you know, as I said, through Teams and things like that, and do, you know, all the external governance meetings worked really well. You know, on the Alt Hand company, all the meetings, the governance side of things is all with energy suppliers. So everybody was remote, and I think that worked really well. I think going forward, I think it will continue, to be fair. I think, you know, on this assignment now, I go in once, twice a week, if that, and it doesn't have to be every week. And I think we're slowly trying to get into that, the new norm. But I think that new norm won't necessarily be office-based 5 days a week. And I think, yeah, I think everywhere, all industries have proven that actually we can do it virtually, it works.
I think as well, it depends on the assignment that you're actually involved in, because me personally, I'm based remotely. I'm very, very rarely have to travel in.
And so one question for you, Sophie, having come new into the sector, how did you get your head around all the acronyms? And, you know, yeah, every sector, no matter what utilities or otherwise, and that doesn't matter if it's, you know, gas, power, water, whichever, it all has its own language. So how did you get your head around that coming in completely new?
Yeah, I think there was a couple of aspects to it. I accepted at the start that I am new to it, so I was willing to ask all the questions. I like to do my own research too, so I'd try and Google cheat sheets and get a list of all the acronyms I could possibly find. And I think just accept that it would be a long process that I'd learn as I went on. And because I was in more of a data role, I think straight away that didn't impact me so much, because I was focused on the data. But then we have team consultancy calls quite often, like each week, and so I'd sit in on those and I'd hear what was going on in the rest of the company. And I think that over time has definitely helped me pick up all the acronyms and company names and all sorts.
Excellent. So Claire, any final words for our women in the utilities network if they were looking to switch careers or aspired to working in a consulting business?
I think it's just go for it. I think, you know, as I said, I think, you know, with me, I always had this little bit of a doubt that I couldn't do it. And as I said, it's, you know, having your contracts extended and things like that, it does help build that confidence. And it's, you can do it and we can all do it. And, you know, don't get me wrong, there's challenges with it. You know, as I said, the commute I found really, really difficult initially. And you know, I live on my own with two cats, and, you know, sort of leaving them but it just became the new norm. So it's not for everybody, but I do think it's definitely worth a go. I think if you love meeting different people and working with different companies, and yeah, I think it's a really good career to go into.
Thank you very much. Just want to last check in with any of our audience whether they have any other questions.
Yeah, I had a question. I think one of the things that's previously kind of put me off about going into consulting is what's the ratio of time pitching for new business and going and meeting clients and trying to get those contracts so you can do your consulting versus time actually working on that? And also, I guess, around the fear of, you know, once one consulting contract ends with a customer, am I going to be able to get the next job? Yes, that sort of side of things.
I think probably each consultancy company is going to be different, and that their setup might be different. At Engage, it's all quite hands on, so which is good, because I think, you know, we all can get involved in either new, you know, looking at new ideas and things like that. So I finished my assignment in April, and I've just done sort of 6 months off assignment, which I've never really done before in my 6 years there. So I found that, you know, it was quite an interesting transition to be back off assignment. But again, it was, I think, with the support of the company, it's never just one person's responsibility. And I think, you know, with the support of everybody else, it's, yeah, you work through it. And as I said, you know, you work on bids, and as Sophie said, you know, you can think of an idea or an area that you're interested in, and you know, some of the work comes from that as well. So
fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you to you and Sophie as well for coming along today and sharing your experiences. I'm sure it's been incredibly helpful for anybody who's been curious and interested in careers in consulting. So thank you. Just before we close, I wanted to just go and share a few extra bits around what's coming up after today's event. Our next Women's Utility Network event is on the 24th of November, and we have a collaboration. This event is being done in conjunction with Women in Public Affairs, and we have a panel of speakers, including some of our WAN founders, and it is how women can shape the net zero transition beyond COP26. So tickets are available via the Women's Utility Network website, and that is the place to go if you want to find anything else about what we're doing or how you can get involved. So go to the website and you'll find where you can find mentoring, register for a free mentor, or sign up as a mentor. Everybody has something to offer. You'll find our blogs and our podcast there. I'd also encourage you to join the network. So join our network. If you sign up to join the network, you'll get added to our newsletter. So you'll get signposted to our events and what's happening as well. So that's particularly interesting as we go back to face-to-face events, where we will have a very limited number of tickets. So you want to be in the know. So definitely encourage you to sign up there. And also just to highlight our podcast. So I think we're at number 6 or 7th of our podcasts now. A huge selection of really interesting conversations. The latest interview with Kelly and Morris around a fertility journey. You can get all of our podcasts on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music. You just need to search One for All. So I will just bring this session to close now and thank our partners for their support. Without our partners, we wouldn't be able to do all the great things that we can do for our members. So their support is greatly appreciated. And to close by thanking our fabulous speakers, thank you to Claire and Sophie for coming along today and sharing your knowledge and your insights as well. It's been fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Bye.